Welcome to another episode of the Blemished Beauty Podcast. This podcast was designed with you in mind. If you're ready to erase the norm and embrace the truth, come pull up a chair, grab a journal, and tell a friend that your favorite Jersey girl is back with another episode. So let's get into it.
Hey, y'all. Welcome to another episode of the Blemished Beauty Podcast, and I am your host, Shira Renee. Now, today is going to be an interesting conversation. We're going to talk about all things anxiety, and I have the pleasure today of sitting down with Ms. Royanne Mitchell, and I found this beautiful soul on TikTok, and you know, I am an advocate about mental health. I'm an advocate about great conversations, and when I saw her content, I was just immediately in awe. So after the interlude, I'm going to bring her on the stage so she can tell you guys about herself and we can dive into the conversation and give you tips and tools on how to manage anxiety. Hello, Royanne. How are you?
Hi, I'm doing well. I'm blessed. How have you been?
I'm good. I'm so excited about this conversation. Just like I was telling everybody, I follow you on TikTok. So I was just so intrigued. As soon as I saw your content, I was like, yes, I have to talk to her. I have to have her on the show.
Thank you for having me. Thank you for considering me. Appreciate it.
You are absolutely welcome. So tell the people a little bit about you.
Okay, well, as she said, my name is Royanne Mitchell. I'm originally from the Twin Island of Trinidad and Tobago. I have been in the United States for some years now. And, you know, I've gone through ups and downs, like a lot of people. You know, life will always happen. I'm currently a realtor. I also work for my ministry, Fountain of Life Faith Center. I'm the chief administrator there. You know, we have a couple group homes that we house teenagers from ages 13 to 17 who have experienced trauma. Right. They come from various backgrounds. So I am the administrator there, and now my newfound love is being a mental health advocate. and of course, I've become a mental health advocate based on what I've been through. And so I'm just grateful to be here, to be able to share my experience, share what has helped me break through in so many ways, to just live the overcoming, more than a conqueror life that God has designed for us to live.
I love that. I too am a big advocate of mental health, especially, you know, going through everything that I have been through. We have grown up in a generation where children should be seen and not heard. So I love the fact that your target audience is the teenagers, because that is a pivotal age. That's near and dear to me as well, because my oldest son, who was 15, he lost his father 2 years ago. So the amount of trauma he faced between 5 and 15 is really, really insane. And we don't think that kids go through anything, and they do. And sometimes they don't have an outlet to talk about it. And it channels in other ways. So I'm happy for spaces that you're creating for them, because it's very, very vital for them to have positive outlets as opposed to negative ones. So you said you are a mental health advocate because of some of the things that you have been through. Can you give us at least one story about something you have gone through or overcome to get you to this point?
Well, I would say my journey with anxiety and actually panic attacks. It started back in 2020, right around the time of the COVID-19 outbreak. I had been through a series of back-to-back life-altering events, but like so many of us, I kept pushing through without really stopping to process everything, right? I wasn't taking the time to focus on myself, and all that stress started to pile up. One day I was heading to the gym because they had just started back opening up the gym during COVID. I took my usual pre-workout routine, which would be a caffeine pill, and I drank a specific herbal tea. And but something was different that morning. As I was driving, my heart started racing and my hands went numb, and I felt like I was going to pass out. I actually thought I was dying.
Wow.
By myself in the car, no help around. And it wasn't until later that I realized that the caffeine combined with the high cortisol levels from all the stress I'd been carrying triggered a panic attack at that moment. I had no idea what was happening at the time. And the more episodes I had, the more fearful I became.
Right.
Driving, hearing certain words, seeing certain things became like triggers. It would literally set off the panic attack all over again. And then, of course, the fear of the panic attack alone brings on the panic attack. So right. I was just having a series of panic attacks back to back. And it was like living in a constant state of panic. Right. But through it all, my faith in God became my anchor. I leaned into prayer and scripture like never before at that moment. You know, as an administrator, you solve so many problems. But here comes this problem that I'm personally dealing with that I just could not solve. And so it became very frustrating for me.
Yeah.
I was just spending money on all kinds of different things to try to, what is wrong with me? but, you know, I had to trust God, even when my body and mind felt completely out of control. That's not to say that the fear disappeared overnight, right? I still have moments here and there, very few and far in between, but now I know how to handle them. I've learned that faith doesn't stop the storms from coming, right? But it does give you the strength to endure them.
Right.
And so that's what inspired me to even write the book that I did mention to you. And just to be someone who's able to identify with others and, you know, at least give them some tips based on what I went through and how I came through and still working my way out.
Right.
So I'm just grateful for the experience and just being able to be an ear for others.
I love that. I love that you said faith doesn't stop the storm, because a lot of the times people feel like when they're coming into God and Christianity that, okay, I accepted Jesus as my personal savior. Life is going to be perfect. Child, that's the opposite. Okay. Like immediately after that, you get tested. Like
exactly. Exactly. Because the devil don't want you to know what truth is.
Right. And succeed.
So of course he's going to bring so many different things. He's going to make life really life with you.
Yes, exactly. So I want to ask this question, and this is probably for people that don't know, because we are talking about mental health. You mentioned anxiety attack and panic attack. Are those the same things, or is it different? Because some people say one thing, some people say another. So do you know if this difference or is it the same thing?
It's different. It's different. I believe, and from, you know, of course, you know, during the time when I was trying to figure out what was wrong with me, I was researching everything. Right. So, but yeah, panic attacks and anxiety, I look at it as two different things. They work hand in hand, though, right? The anxiety could be triggered by different things. Panic attack to me is like another level of anxiety. Like you are so anxious about this, the anxiety has taken you so much to the point where you begin to fear And then that, to me, that fear then goes and you start to panic.
Okay.
Because of the feelings that you're feeling, you can't control it. And so that fear creeps in. And then if you don't know how to deal with that fear, you go into a panic mode. Panic.
Okay.
So that's how I differentiate between the both of them.
Okay. So for me, being a visual person, I would say a panic attack is like the flu, and an anxiety attack is kind of like a cold.
The cold,
very severe. And then a cold is something, okay, it could pass, you know,
the
flu can take you out. So, okay. So yeah. For those people who don't know, I'm glad that we asked those questions, because a lot of people don't know the difference. A lot of people think that they are the same. So tell me about the book that, you know, you wrote. What was the process like? I know one of my favorite podcasters, author Nikki Nicole, she's going to ask, were you self-published or did you go through a publishing company? So just tell us a little bit about the book.
So with the book. Okay. So I remember getting up one morning. Can you still hear me? Okay. Am I echoing?
No, you're good. You're good.
Okay. All right. So I got up one morning. It was like at about 2 a.m. that morning, and God began to talk to me about me and about certain things. And I was asking him for a long time, you know, after experiencing what I was experiencing. I'm like, man, there's probably so many people that's going through the same thing, but are silent. And especially in the Christian community, because sometimes, and not all Christians will do it, but sometimes people will label you as a person of no faith, as a person who couldn't be walking the Christian walk, or couldn't really believe in God, or, you know, and I started to ask God, give me the platform, or give me a book, something that I can use as a tool to spread the word and to help others based on what I've been through. And I remember that morning, he began to give me what you call this, it's like the acronym to breaking.
Right.
And for every letter, he started giving me like taglines for every letter. And so I was like, wait a minute. So I started getting like, it was almost like he was giving me the chapters for the book. And so one thing led to another. I got so excited. I just, you know, I started breaking down the word, and then, you know, the Holy Spirit started to give me more revelation as to the topics that he was giving me. And I was just going crazy. Of course, I needed someone later on to help me structure what I mean. All I knew is that I had all this information bottled up on the inside of me, and I knew I had to get it out. And so from then was kind of like history. I started writing. I started reaching out to other people who's in the same mental health space, just to kind of get a better understanding. Because of course, this is new to me. Like, I've always heard of mental health. It was never something that I was always prone to want to be involved or get into. But again, because of my experience, I just felt like, oh my God, I have to spread this. I have to let other people know they're not alone.
Right.
And that there is hope.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times going through mental health issues, the devil plays with our minds.
Absolutely.
And tell us that there's no hope. So, you know, this book was intended to be a tool, a guide, you know, however some people, and now I'm finding out that other people that are reading it, they don't go through anxiety and panic attacks, but maybe depression, or maybe they just encountered an illness, and they need that encouragement. So the book goes even beyond people who are dealing with anxiety and fear. So, you know, I'm just glad I was able to put as much as I can, compact it in a way that, and package it in a way that will help, you know, from a Christian perspective, because we never want to leave out, we never want to leave God out of the equation, because we wouldn't be here if it wasn't for him.
Absolutely.
And he is the ultimate pill to solve a
Absolutely.
Lot of issues, you know, together with other professionals and expertise that's out there that also helps us along the way.
Right. So speaking of God, you also dabble in music as well. And, you know, you've been on stage a couple of gospel artists. And you know, if anybody follows you on your journey on YouTube, you dabble more into the music side on YouTube. And TikTok is more like the creative space for your mental health journey. What made you get into that as well?
The music part? Well, I've been singing since the age of, well, this is what my mom says, from the tender age of 2.
Wow.
So singing has been part of my life for years, you know, since I've known myself. I loved to sing, still love to sing. I grew up in a musical family, so I've gotten it from both sides, both. My mom was a very renowned gospel singer. And before she got saved, she was also a renowned singer before that. you know, my dad's family, we have singers, we have musicians. So I got a double whammy from both sides. And I was brought up in a Christian home. So therefore, some people leave, but I was one of the children that held on to the faith.
Right.
My mom, I was always up underneath my mom at every prayer meeting, and even at the prayer meeting, sometimes they will say, Ryan, sing hallelujah. I always be like, hallelujah, you know. gospel singing has been a part of my life ever since I've known myself. I did have opportunities to share the stage with some other renowned gospel singers in some concerts, both in Trinidad and in the U.S. I've also had the opportunity to gain title of the youngest ever to win the National Song Festival in Trinidad and Tobago.
Wow.
At the age of 13.
Wow.
Yeah. And believe it or not, even that is a story in itself. When I, after having experienced what I experienced, let me tell you, I tell people, do not think that because you're going to therapy, you're not a Christian.
Okay.
Because listen, the therapist I had, well, I specifically chose a Christian therapist when I was going through my season. And the therapist I had said one thing that stuck with me, and I say it all the time. And she said, what's under the rug is still in the house. I say, what you say now? That thing, that one line that she said, I take with me all the time, because it's the truth. We tend to shove things, and even over the years from a child growing up, we tend to shove things. And like you said earlier, children are taught to be silent. You know, and so, and sometimes either you don't know how to express how you feel, or you've never even given the opportunity to express how you feel as a child, right? So as children, we bottle things up and we don't know better.
Right.
You know, and it's only when we become an adult, that's when things start to manifest. And that's when, you know, certain things would trigger us and we don't even understand why.
Right.
But that's because growing up, we shoved a lot of stuff under the rug because we weren't allowed to speak. We weren't allowed to express ourselves. And now, like I tell parents, allow your child to express themselves, because they're human beings just like us. They have feelings just like us. Right. And so I was saying, I got to that point to say, I remember when I won the National Song Festival, my life changed at that point in Trinidad and Tobago. It was like I became famous overnight, right? And as a child, you don't know how to deal with stress.
Yeah, right. That's a lot.
And also, you're not making the decisions for yourself as a child. So you have to follow through with, you know, with people's expectations of you. You know, you have to carry yourself as, you know, up to the level that people expect of you, especially if you become famous, because now eyes are on you when you leave the house. You know, I will go downtown and, you know, walking through there, and I hear people calling out my name and stuff. So it's no privacy.
Yeah,
it was just, it was a lot to process as a child, right? not to say that it wasn't a God thing with me going to the next level in my music career, but it's just that other side, that mental health. And so ever since then, my life has been busy. Almost every week, every other day, you have interviews. You know, people want to interview on radio, on TV. This person wants you in their gospel concert. It was like, and then I had to balance my schoolwork. It was crazy.
Yeah.
And so, and then of course, migrating to the US, it became almost the same thing, because everybody wants Ryan here and there. And so, but again, if you're not taught how to handle stress, stress can overtake you. It can build up to the point, because look, they said my cortisol levels was at a high.
Yeah.
When the incident happened to me while I was driving the car.
Right.
But again, that's from the build up of living a stressful life, or living a life where you don't take time for yourself, or you don't understand how to release, let go. You don't take time to smell the roses. And so, of course, I mean, I had to learn the hard way. But even though I learned the hard way, God turned it around for my good, where I'm now able to be on platforms to help others.
Right.
Not have to go through what I went through.
Right.
You know, if they will listen.
Yeah, that.
If they will listen, because trust me, I'm still working on myself to make sure I put that time aside. I don't want to feel like the rest of my life will be a life where I don't take time out for myself, because we do need time for ourselves. So, but yeah, so this is where I am now. I'm still singing. You know, I lead praise and worship at church.
I love it.
So, I mean, praise and worship, that's my heart. Leading praise and worship, I just, even if I'm sick, I'm still doing it. And I never give God less, never. Because I just feel like he deserves that and so much more.
I love that, because growing up, I grew up in a Baptist church. And with the Baptist church, there are so many different ministries that you could be a part of. And my mother, if I could join it, I was in it. And choir was one of the ones that I was in. And, you know, as a child, you're like, oh, we got to go to church again. Church is this long, being here or whatever. And my mother is the type of person, we had 8 o'clock service. And my mother's in there at 7:45, okay? Because she's early. Yeah, so Saturday night, I'm trying to watch Apollo. You know, that come on at 1 in the morning.
Oh, I forgot about Apollo.
Okay. Yes, and then I got to get up. I'm like, all right, I'm going to watch Apollo and I'm going to be good. Man, I'm sitting there, I'm like, ooh, now I regret this at 8:30 in the morning. Like, this wasn't good. But now that you're older, it's like those little things that you was complaining about, that sets the tone for you as an adult. Like you said, with the praise and worship, like sometimes if I'm going through something, I'll remember those hymnals that I was rolling my eyes at that we had to sing every first Sunday for communion. Yep. Them same songs will take you through when you're going through something. And it's like you hear the lyrics, but you understand them now when you're older. I love that, because so for anybody that's watching, the younger generation, you're going to complain about it now. But trust me, when you get older, you're going to understand everything happens for a reason. So Don't let it stress you out too much, because you're going to need it later. You're going to need it later.
And you said the same thing. I actually told my mom maybe a couple weekends ago, we were talking and I started crying, and we were listening to some worship music from back in the days. And I started crying because, and I just told her, I'm like, Mom, thank you so much for taking me to all those prayer meetings, for keeping me under your armpit, for like, you know, I said, because I am who I am today in God because of those moments. Because of those moments. Now I could understand what I'm singing. I mean, I would sing the worship songs back then, but now life,
understand the words.
It becomes rhema, it becomes more revelatory to you.
Yeah.
You know, and this time of your life. So yeah, same thing here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So okay, now circling back to like the mental health. What are some tips and tools for people to remain grounded so their cortisone levels and stuff don't go high? I know it's an individual thing, but just like, you know, grounding, what are some good grounding techniques? What are some good indicators? If you feel yourself is getting this way, that means this. What are some tips that you have for everybody?
Well, first of all, know that you're not alone. You're not crazy. Okay, first of all, you have to know that for yourself, right? Know that these moments do happen. We're human beings. These moments happen. One of the major things that did help me was my breathing. Because the breathing helped me from going to the extreme with a panic attack. Right. So from the time I feel it coming on, I use, well, there are different techniques of breathing, but I would always breathe in, count for four, and then I will release for eight. I will breathe in four, hold for four, and then release for eight. So that I do like a 4-4-8 type of, and it helps. Mm-hmm. It helps because you see what's happening is your adrenaline is starting to pump. When you feel anxious, and if you don't bring that back to a calm, it could escalate to other things, and you know, panic right. attack, high blood pressure, high cortisol, mm-hmm. you know. So just being able to learn how to control your breath is one of the key things. And I will give an example. The other day, this experience has caused me not to be in a position where I still deal with like a post-traumatic situation where I'm not driving as right. yet. So I haven't been really driving for the last, since that time.
Mm-hmm.
But I take little steps here and there. And so I was going to drive in my complex. Well, I got in my car to drive in my complex the other day just to go to the leasing office. You know, it was like a field trip for me to the leasing office. And halfway there, my whole mental capacity, my whole mental, how to put it, it was just a shift that took place.
Yeah.
A shift took place in my body, right? And my heart started racing. Wow. And I was like, oh, devil, you're a liar today. Right? My heart started racing. And so what I did was I didn't panic. Because I knew what the devil was trying to do.
Right.
And so I just, you know, just drove into the little parking spot that was on the side of me. This was halfway towards the leasing office. Drove into the side and I had to decompress.
Mm-hmm.
I did my breathing, you know, and even during that time, the devil would tell me in my mind, you're going to be like this for the rest of your life. You're going to be incapacitated to drive. You know, all of that was going through and I had to talk truth.
Right.
Which is what God says about me to right. myself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I had to quote some things, some, you know, some scriptures from in the Word of God. You know, thank you, Lord, for giving me the peace that passes all understanding. You know, I had to tell myself I'm the head, I'm not the tail. Mm-hmm. I am delivered. I am mm-hmm. set free. You know, I had to like really talk to myself about these things. And so I took my breathing very seriously that day because I was determined
right.
not to be defeated. And so breathing helped me and I was able to reach my destination. So breathing, and then you have, what are you telling yourself? right? What are you telling yourself? We have to count, you have to counteract the lies that the devil is telling you with the truth that you know God is telling you.
Right.
Right. And so, but the only way you can tell yourself the truth.
It's having will that be relationship.
Yes. Mm-hmm. The relationship with God, you know, getting to know his word, getting to know who he is. You can't believe in something you don't know.
Right.
So you have to take that time and build that relationship with God so that, you know, in moments of fear and moments of, because the fear will come. You know, I would never tell someone you should never have to fear. I mean, we're not, God doesn't mean for us to fear.
Yeah.
Right. But then that shouldn't be the life that we live at the same time.
Yeah.
Right. Because, you know, fear had torment and what we fear, it comes upon us.
Yeah.
Right. But then we can't negate the fact that God is the ultimate peace.
Right.
And so having him on the inside, building a relationship with him, getting in the word is another key tip that helped me through that journey. So breathing, knowing the truth and being able to speak that truth to counteract the lies that are being told to you by the enemy. Those are two tips. The third other thing is, and I don't know why our people, I'm talking about Black people, I don't know why they feel like therapy is for white people. I don't know how this became racist. I don't understand how it became a racist thing. But either way, therapy is good.
Yeah.
It helped me. Mm-hmm. It helped me process. Sometimes you need someone with that expertise to help you process things.
Yeah.
Because a lot of things that my therapist will prompt me on, and she was an excellent prompter to get me to talk, you know, express things. And then I become even more aware of what I'm dealing with based on how that whole session is going. I love therapy. I was like, why wasn't I doing this all along?
Right.
But therapy will help you process things and kind of like help guide you as well. So we have learning how to breathe, speaking truth to yourself, which we know in order for you to speak truth for yourself, you have to know the truth. And in order to know the truth, you have to get into the word and build a relationship with God, right? Knowing who God is. We say he's Jehovah Jireh, he's Jehovah Rapha, he's such, but sometimes we don't understand
right
how effective that role of him is until we go through something. I'm like, oh, so this is what we mean, that
he really is Jehovah Jireh. Yes.
I ain't just saying that no more. Right? So yeah, so that relationship. And then also don't be afraid or don't feel less than a Christian if you go to therapy, right? So those three were my main. Then allow God to break what he has to break in you, because sometimes we hold on to a lot of stuff and we are the ones that keep us in bondage.
Right.
Yes, the devil has a part to play, but sometimes we got to do the work.
Yeah.
So when the therapist is giving certain, and hopefully it's a therapist that knows what they're doing. And the reason why I chose a Christian therapist, because I'm not all into the universe and all these, you know, all these other different new age stuff. It's not my belief. Right. So I just wanted to make sure that mine was streamlined in a Christian way, and somebody who understands my belief. But so sometimes the therapist will give you certain homework, certain things. Do it. Because you see, if you don't do the work, you will remain in the same position. God has placed this person to help you go through, right? So learn to take criticism, because she might criticize you in a therapeutic way. Of course, it wouldn't do anything to be offensive to you. But sometimes we have to face our realities. And we don't, some of us don't like to face our realities.
That's true.
Especially where the when we're the part of the problem that we've created our own self. Mm-hmm. Right? So that's another thing. And just rest in God. I also had, I developed a routine. Mm-hmm. Every morning I would get up at a certain time in the morning. And I will, when I get up, I don't start talking and I can't listen to loud stuff. You know, I need a moment to kind of collect myself when I wake up in the morning. So a lot of times in the quietness, the quiet time in the morning, I will meditate. I will meditate on the word. There are times that I do get distracted. So I will put the word in my ear, you know, have something playing where I'm just meditating. There's tons of resources out there. You have YouTube, you have different people that have, you know, different things that you could listen to and just mm-hmm. have that word just playing or worship, you know, something to just keep you grounded. So that you know you don't escalate to other level, and it kind of helps set the tone for the day as well. Right, so I would do that and have my prayer sessions, get into the word. So I'm saying that to say, make sure you have a solid routine when you wake up in the morning so that it sets the tone for the rest of the day. Right, so that's another tip. And one last thing. The moments, and this is what I did, the moments that I felt like, and of course, depending on where you are, you could kind of choose what you want to do. But I know most of the times when the anxiety started, when I was going through that season, I was at home. So when I felt it coming on, sometimes I'll just put on worship music because worship music had a way of calming me down. And so most of the times will be worship music, or I'll put on nature, like sounds of nature, like the water, you know, because all of that is what God created. I'm like, there's healing and all this stuff that God created. You know, you sit by the water and just hearing the water helps bring a calm. And so I'm like, God knew, he knew what he was doing.
Exactly.
He knew what he was doing.
Exactly.
The birds chirping, the bees, the trees. It's just, you know, it has you in awe of the creator. And it helps bring your body back down to a calm. So worship music and listening to nature was another tool that I used. And then you have to surround yourself with people who are prayer warriors. Listen, if it wasn't for the prayer warriors in my church and my family that stuck with me through, I mean, every morning they mentioned my name with prayer. They prayed me through. I mean, that definitely helped as well. Like it's almost like it helped undergird.
Lift you up. Yep.
Yeah. It undergirded me. They undergirded me with prayer and that definitely helps. I think one of the challenges that many may encounter would be, because you could do all of that, but then if you have family members and friends who don't know how to deal with you, how to help you, sometimes that could be an issue as well. So I would always encourage family members and friends of people who go through these types of mental health issues, you know, kind of educate yourself as to how to deal with them. Because I remember initially my mom and my aunt would do certain things and it would be triggers. You know, don't rub my back. Don't you like just certain things, you know, it was like, don't cry. But they're doing it out of their heart. You know what I'm saying? They just want to see me okay.
Right.
You know, but just a simple thing, like simple phrase, like saying, you're going to be okay. Sometimes that in itself, that's all we need to hear. Sometimes you're going to be okay. You're not alone. you know, things like that. No, stop this thing with saying it's all in your mind. You need to beat that devil. You need to, you know, sometimes you, it, when you are in that space, whatever a family, friend, even a foe may say at that point could either make you worse, or they could either escalate the problem, or they can help bring you back down to a calm. So I would always encourage family and friends to, you know, look into different ways, or even if, you know, the person's therapist would kind of help, you know, kind of give them some pointers as to how to deal with family, because that is definitely a challenge that I know that some people are probably facing as well. Family and friends not knowing how to be that help with that, but just a listening ear. So those are my tips.
I love that. I'm a big advocate. I tell people all the time, Jesus and therapy go hand in hand.
Yeah.
Because I mean, like, it's one thing to know, you know, then that's what the older generation, oh, just pray about it. Okay. And then what? Because exactly. Once you pray about it, God also gives us tools and things tangibly that we can use and utilize, you know. So therapy is one of those things.
Yeah, because when we're sick, we go to the hospital, we go to the doctor, we let them do their due. Exactly. We don't just say, okay, but we're going to pray. Exactly. But faith without works is dead. You have to do some work.
Mm-hmm. So, our minds are the only thing that we don't seek professional help with. Everything else is like, yeah, I'll go to the doctor if I got this, or I'll go get my hair done and trust a professional to get my hair done. But what about your mental? That controls everything.
Yes. Like,
and that's the last thing we will not.
it's crazy. But yeah, it's sad to say, but you're right. You're right. Like, we take care of, we go to professionals for everything else, but when it comes to our minds, you know, we feel like it's not necessary. But yeah.
So it's definitely necessary to utilize all resources that the source, God,
has I like given that. Us. Yes. Use all resources that the source.
Absolutely. So at this time, I want to let the people, give the people some information about where they can find you and follow you and support your journey, get your book and all the things. This is your, as my favorite podcaster author, Nikki Nicole, would say, this is your 30 seconds of fame.
Okay, so for my book, it's called Breaking Through, A Christian's Perspective on a Journey to Freedom from Anxiety and Fear. You can find that on Amazon just by typing my name, Royanne, R-O-Y-A-N-N-E, and the word breakthrough, breaking, the phrase breaking through. It's on Amazon. Also, you can follow me on TikTok, on Instagram, and on YouTube at Royanne Mitchell. I made it easy, so I made all of it the same. So at Royanne Mitchell, TikTok, Instagram, and YouTube. You can follow me there. I'm on YouTube. You'll find me singing. I just started recently putting some mental health insights on there as well, some long form content, you know, things about, you know, how to find true joy and different things like that. But yeah, follow me. I'm going to be coming with some real talk, real issues. We're going to be dealing with some real issues that we encounter daily. And of course, mental health is going to be definitely be my priority. So looking forward to seeing you guys connect with me.
I love that. Thank you again so much for coming on here and being a guest. I truly appreciate you.
Thank you for having me. It's exciting. I'm so glad I'm healed to the point where I can talk about it. So.
Absolutely. I love it. Okay, you guys, I hope you enjoyed this awesome conversation in this episode that we had today. And as always, I want you to remember that you have been graced and gifted for a time such as this. You have purpose in this world, and you have been born to do great and amazing things. So until next episode, you guys, talk to you later.
We hope you enjoyed today's episode, and don't forget to leave a review. You can follow Shira on all major platforms and on YouTube at ShiraRenee510. Until next time, spread love, show grace, and shine bright.